Listening to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. We just heard from a Michigander who does not support the idea that women should be able to end pregnancies if they like. Monica Miller is someone who has worked for a long time in the pro-life movement, and she talked about how she came to that position and came to that activism here in Detroit. Of course, that activism is in the spotlight as we walk up to the midterm elections this fall and perhaps to a ballot initiative here in the state of Michigan that will decide whether abortion will be legal and safe, or whether we will go back to this 1931 law that is on the books here that makes it quite criminal. We want to continue the conversation now, and of course, we want to talk a lot about this issue with you and hear from you about how you're feeling. What did you think of what the U.S. Supreme Court did in the Dobbs case this spring, overturning Roe v. Wade after nearly 50 years of that being the law of the land? What do you think of the idea of this ballot initiative that is still in flux? We're not sure whether it's going to appear on the ballot quite yet. But if it does, would you vote for making abortion rights part of the Michigan Constitution? Also, what do you think about the national landscape here? Michigan is one state, of course, that is taking this on right now, but many, many other states, of course, are gearing up for pretty big fights over this issue. What do you think states should be doing? What should states be allowed to do? Should we be pursuing some sort of national consensus or solution to all of this? As always, the number here on the phones is 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we will work you into the conversation. We're also joined now by two reporters who have been covering this issue at both the state and national level. Rachel Cohen is a senior policy reporter for Vox, who has been writing all about politics and abortion nationally. Rachel, welcome to Detroit Today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And back with us again is Lauren Gibbons. She's a reporter who covers Michigan politics for Bridge Michigan. She has been writing about abortion politics at the state level. Lauren, welcome back to Detroit Today.
Thanks for having me.
So, Rachel, I want to start just by talking about how women have felt the impact of the overturning of Roe this spring. In the states where women do not have a right to an abortion now, what's happening? What does this issue look like? And how many states are, like Michigan, thinking about whether to put this to the voters and let people decide where this right will stand?
Well, you know, it's been felt by women. I think it's safe to say in all states, certainly there are over half the states have been ramping up and are at risk of doing total or near total bans of abortion. A lot of those bans are right now going through litigation, being challenged in court, but some of them are going through. I think, you know, we are seeing stories play out that we have never seen before, because you're having new situations where you have attorneys at hospitals saying to doctors, you know, don't do these normal things you normally would do because we don't know if they would be legal under these new statutes. So it's a very scary time for both people who can get pregnant, for providers, for, you know, people running hospitals and other health pharmacists and so on. And it's, I would say that there are a lot of people looking at the structural difficulties of getting things through in Congress and recognizing more clearly for the first time how much this is going to become a battle state by state, like Michigan is doing. And there are other ballot initiatives coming up in November, and I think just more broadly, people are recognizing this is going to have to be a real state battle, because even if Congress does manage to pass some sort of federal bill protecting abortion rights, it's going to go back to the courts. Mm-hmm. And these are the same courts that just overthrew Roe. And unless we do some sort of court reform, or the composition of the court changes significantly, most, you know, federal legislation is going to end up back in the Supreme Court ultimately.
Mm. Yeah. So, Rachel, I think when a lot of people think about this issue from a national perspective, they gravitate toward the theory that there are, you know, there are blue states, there are blue areas of the country, and there are red states, red areas of the country. And I think you can pretty quickly come to, you know, simple conclusions about what this right will look like based on that geography. But it's often much more complicated than that. Abortion is a more complicated issue than almost any other political issue. And what we saw in Kansas recently, I think, was a reminder of the error of making assumptions about that geography. Could you talk about not the polls, I mean, places where mm-hmm. it's obvious that abortion will be illegal or legal, but the places where there is a lot of, as they say, play in the joints, where the specific questions yeah. about how legal it is and under what circumstances are really going to be the areas of flashpoint?
Yeah, and I think, you know, bringing up Kansas is really important because Kansas really does give a picture of why this is not an easy red versus blue issue. As you mentioned, Americans hold complicated, nuanced, often contradictory views about abortions. A question they give to a pollster about abortion might directly contradict the next answer they give because people's opinions are not very neat and tidy on this issue. But what we do know, what is clear, is that Americans, regardless of how they feel about abortion, overwhelmingly do not think the government should be making the decisions for them. Almost a third of self-identified pro-choice Americans personally oppose abortion, but they still believe that the decision should be between a woman and her doctor, that they don't think the government should be saying at what point, you know, you should be able to get which procedure. And that sort of framing is really important to understand why you see so many libertarians, so many Republicans, so many conservatives also supporting pro-choice laws, because it's, and why there are Democrats who also have concerns about abortion personally. Tim Kaine is a senator. He is Catholic who personally doesn't support abortion, but he has been sponsoring pro-choice legislation for years because it's possible to sort of be in a position where you can support laws that allow for greater options because you don't see this as something for the government to be deciding.
Yeah, yeah. So Lauren Gibbons, of course, Michigan is one of the states where this is a flashpoint issue coming up for the fall elections. Let's talk first about where Michiganders stand pretty broadly on abortion. They seem to want it, of course. 800,000 people signed this petition to put this question on the ballot in November. But I think there are bigger questions about how comfortable people are with abortion rights. And again, real nuance when you think about not just how people will vote, but how they think the law should be structured.
Right. There's certainly a lot of nuance on that spectrum. And here in a purple state like Michigan, there are a lot of different views about abortion rights and how this should look. Certainly, as you mentioned, it's likely we'll see exactly what state elections officials decide this week or before the end of the month about how whether this abortion ballot initiative does go before voters in November. So we did see a lot of interest and support for that, especially after the Dobbs decision came down. But certainly there is still a lot of differing opinions, a lot of concern. We're seeing critics of this ballot initiative kind of start to bring up concerns about how far this would go, essentially, kind of criticizing the fact that, for example, minors could get abortion procedures, and those kinds of things. So there's certainly you know, not a binary. Some people want abortion, some people don't. There's definitely a wider spectrum, and we'll, as we see whether this this issue is on the ballot in November, we'll start to see some of those conversations play out in real time.
And of course, whether it's on the ballot or not, you've already begun to see how it is going to play out in some other races. And the governor's race in particular, I feel like every commercial I've seen about the governor's race so far since the primary has been about abortion and what Tudor Dixon, who is the Republican nominee, thinks about abortion. The super PACs are running nonstop attack ads, painting her, with her own words, as an abortion extremist. It seems like this is going to frame the elections, even if we don't get the ballot initiative in November.
Right, and kind of in contrast to what we're seeing, you know, among the public opinion, certainly at the governor's level, voters have a pretty stark choice to make, right? Governor Whitmer has really been at the front lines of these court battles, trying to keep abortion rights legal in Michigan. You know, that Oakland County case we saw last week that essentially, you know, put abortion rights under it protected abortion rights, putting that 1931 ban that's on the books under a preliminary injunction so local prosecutors couldn't start enforcing that. But then on the other side of the coin, Tudor Dixon is very, very anti-abortion, has made that very clear in many public statements. So yes, in a lot of races up and down the ticket, voters will have a pretty stark choice between, you know, candidates who support abortion rights and candidates who do not. So yeah, in kind of contrast to what we're seeing from, you know, the public view, where there's a little bit more nuance on how what they would personally like to see in abortion policy. Certainly at the political level, at the top of the ticket, a very, very stark choice there.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to take. Go ahead, Rachel.
I just wanted to add something I think is maybe not as well understood about some of these dynamics is if you ask an individual, you know, sort of in a blank world, would you support this or that abortion restriction, for example, a parental consent law or a certain mandatory waiting period? They might say yes. But then when they go to the polls to vote, what political scientists have observed sort of over and over again, and this is not just with abortion restrictions, but sort of with other areas too, is that if it's a ballot initiative to change something, to change what they have now, voters, including conservative voters, tend to prefer the status quo. And that is a theme we're seeing. That's a theme that the campaigners in Kansas really leaned into. They tried to say, if you take away this state protection, we're going to see, you know, big changes. It's going to lead to a total ban on abortion. And overturning Roe v. Wade is a really big change. It's taking away a constitutional right people had for 50 years. Mm-hmm. And so I think understanding that tension is helpful when thinking about the politics, because people might say, you know, yeah, you know, personally, I would prefer this kind of restriction, or maybe I'm more comfortable with that. But if the choice is, do I want to change what I've had existing around me? Do I want to sort of usher in new destabilizing turmoil and lawsuits and all that? People tend to prefer to keep things as they are.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation about abortion and abortion rights, both from the Michigan perspective and the national perspective. We're going to keep Lauren Gibbons of Bridge, Michigan, and Rachel Cohen of Vox. We want to get to you, the listeners, on the phones and on Twitter. Dan in Southfield, Tim in Detroit, we'll hear from you next. If you want to join them, 313-577-1019 is the number on the phones. That's 313-577-1019. And again, you can go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we can include you in the conversation that way. We'll be right back with more Detroit Today. This is Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. We're talking about abortion politics in Michigan and America this hour. We've got Rachel Cohen, who's a senior policy reporter for Vox. She's been writing about the ways that abortion fights are shaping up in our politics after the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade this spring. Also with us is Lauren Gibbons. She's a reporter who covers Michigan politics for Bridge Michigan and has been following this issue at the local level. We want to hear from you as well. 313-577-1019 is the number on the phones. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we'll work you into the conversation. Lauren, before we broke, I heard you jumping in there with another point. I wanted to come back to that.
Oh, yeah. I just think it's really interesting with the prospect of abortion rights being on the ballot in November, this would be a pretty significant change to what Michigan has on the books, certainly under the federal protections that were previously provided by Roe versus Wade. It would certainly enshrine abortion rights into the state constitution, but that would be in addition to the Constitution, a protection that's currently not there. So it would be really interesting to see, and it will continue to be. Certainly, there's a lot of real momentum. A record-breaking number of signatures were submitted for this initiative. But, you know, as Rachel pointed out, you know, sometimes it's a little more difficult to convince voters to change the status quo. So it could be interesting to see how this fight plays out. You know, because we're being presented with the option with this ballot initiative to add abortion rights into the Constitution.
Yeah.
So that could be an interesting dynamic that could come up at the state level in Michigan.
I think a fair way to describe the initiative, that the language that's in the initiative that they're debating putting on the ballot, is that it would not only restore what Roe did, but that it would roll back what Casey did when the court gave states more ability to regulate abortion within the margins of legality. And I fully expect that if this makes the ballot, that will be the campaign against it, is that people will say it goes further than what most people might think the law should be, and that it would prevent the state from dealing with things that people think that it ought to. Is that a fair characterization?
And I think that if I were the advocates for the measure, then I would emphasize that passing this would prevent taking the state back to 1931 and back to a world we haven't seen, and usher in, you know, restrictions that this, you know, the state hasn't had for a century. Like that would be sort of probably the strategy.
Yeah, yeah. Again, 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag us, and we'll include you in the conversation that way. Let's start with Dan in Southfield. Dan, welcome to the show.
Hey, Steve.
Hey,
Bill Clinton said he thought abortion should be safe, legal, and rare. And I agree with that. I think that trying to regulate this kind of behavior with the law will have the same success rate as trying to stop drugs with the law. It's not going to work. No matter what happens, people are going to need to do what they need to do, and they're going to make their own moral and ethical choices. But I think that this is an essential idea of women's rights. I think that this idea that we're going to decide as a society how other people are going to be able to live their lives is just not, it's stupid, and it's not going to work.
Dan, I think that's a really important point, the sort of practical side of this. And Rachel, you just kind of invoked what we used to have to deal with in this country before Roe, which was a patchwork of ability to get access to abortions. And I think the danger that implies is something that's kind of gotten lost in the conversation, that that it's just not, it's not safe to prevent people from getting legal access to this, because they're going to get access to it anyway. And now you're taking much more risk by doing that. We've already started to see, Rachel, in some regions of the country, people doing extraordinary things, for instance, to try to get legal access to abortions, because where they live, that's no longer the case.
Yeah, and I would add that, you know, probably one of the biggest differences to abortion from now compared to pre-1973 is the advent of medication abortion. And, you know, that just wasn't around. And that's a very good thing. That's a very safe, popular, accessible option for a lot of people. But the biggest, you know, the other huge difference that I think is connected to it and something people are really nervous about is all of these new ways of criminalizing abortion and all the ways people can sort of track your search histories and surveil you. And there is definitely, I would say, a lot of real fear about how the state might prosecute and criminalize people for trying to safely end pregnancies that maybe they could have, you know, 3 months ago.
Yeah. Again, Dan, really appreciate the call and the comments. Let's go next to Lonnie on I-94. Lonnie, welcome to the show.
Hi. What I would like to say is that the way the question's been talked about today has been a little troublesome, because I think that we're missing the point in that in a democracy, in a place where freedom is essential, what we're actually talking about is individuals' rights to choose certain actions on their own. And I think that even in segregation, it wasn't about, the problem with segregation wasn't that white people weren't allowed to live by themselves. It's that they were trying to choose where other people lived. With gun rights, I mean, the problem that we're facing is that it's not about everyone's, I mean, there are some places that are trying to force others to have guns, as well as people are trying to force others not to have certain types of weapons. But it's, and that's when these things become hot buttons, because we fundamentally have a right to, if we are free, we should have a right to choose things that affect us.
Yeah.
And abortion is critical to that.
So Lonnie, I agree with you, but I wonder if you heard the interview at the top of the show with Monica Miller, the pro-life activist, and the way she described the rights that she ascribes to the unborn, the idea that this is a life and is worth protecting as well. Do you not buy any of that, or do you think that on balance that's not as important, or how do you reconcile that with what you're saying here?
Well, as a biologist and as a person who's born in the Christian faith, my issue with life in that form is that I've had to reconcile it with the fact that embryo, that cell, that's just basically a nucleus of a sperm and the cytoplasm and nucleus of an egg combining, that is a living thing, but so is a virus, so is a fly, so is something else. It is not a living human being, and it doesn't have human rights. It cannot live without the mother, and so it should live at the choice of the mother, because it's actually a parasitic relationship, but by choice. So if she chooses to raise, to keep that embryo and raise it, then that's her right.
Yeah.
That's a choice that she gets to make too.
Lonnie, I really appreciate the call and your really thoughtful ideas on the subject. Lauren Gibbons, it strikes me that this is the problem that Tudor Dixon, the Republican nominee for governor, has politically, at least in Michigan, which is that she has made it clear she believes this is life. She believes that it is life that's worth protecting legally at any cost, I think is a fair way to describe the things that she said, and that's out of step with what most Michiganders probably believe.
Yeah, and I think that is that she, you know, would fundamentally support, you know, what's currently on the books in that 1931 law, which is a pretty restrictive, even compared to what most other states have, from our understanding. And, you know, I think it's important to point out at this point, you know, abortion rights in Michigan are on pretty shaky legal ground. They're currently being protected by a preliminary injunction preventing that 1931 law from taking effect. And what we saw in Oakland County Court last week, before that injunction request was granted, you know, there were prosecutors in certain counties who were hoping to enforce that ban and potentially look into prosecuting some cases, and other county prosecutors were saying we would not enforce this law if it went into effect. So we were potentially looking, if that injunction wasn't put in place, at county by county level here. So this is a very open question in terms of how this goes down. You know, if we don't see it at the ballot, we're going to see this play out in the courts, and that 1931 law and whether or not it should be on the books anymore is at the crux of this issue.
Yeah. We're going to take one more call very quickly. Tim in Detroit. Tim, I've only got about a minute left, but I want to get you in here.
We've been granted inalienable rights. Actually, we haven't granted them. An inalienable right means that we have rights that exceed what the government has to impose on us. The government should have no jurisdiction over inalienable rights. And what more fundamental inalienable right is there than say-so over your own body? I don't think we can call ourselves free if we don't have that right.
Yeah, Tim, I appreciate the call and the comment. And again, we're running out of time. But Rachel Cohen, I'll give you the last word before we have to end.
Oh, well, you know, I guess what I would say is I think there's a lot of learning happening right now, and that there are a lot of people who are, I mean, we know that a lot of people actually just don't know that much about how pregnancies work, how abortion works. Polls show most people didn't realize that over 90% of abortions happen in the first trimester, that most people who get abortions are already parents. You know, there's a lot of things I think the public is also kind of grappling with, stories that they thought would never have happened or were just hysterical fear mongering are now happening. And so I think that the politics are really shifting right now, as people are just reflecting and confronting things they didn't think they would have to confront. And so I would just caution, you know, we're going to learn things in November, but I think we may see things continue to change over the next 6 months, year, because there's just a lot happening.
Yeah. Okay, Lauren Gibbons and Rachel Cohen, it was great to have both of you here to talk about this issue. Thanks so much for joining us on Detroit Today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
That is going to do it for us today. Come back tomorrow, and we're going to talk about Detroit's $49 million demolition efforts and also why a library in Ottawa County was defunded by its own residents. This is 101.9 WDET-FM, Detroit's NPR station, your connection to news, music, and conversation. We'll talk again tomorrow.